Well, I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able to rock and roll all night. I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able to rock and roll all night. Come on, pretty baby, we're gonna rock, we're gonna roll until the broad daylight. Because I'm ready, and I'm able, I'm willing and I'm able, so you better come and go with me.
Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Happy Mardi Gras, Bethann.
Good morning. And for a lot of people, they're already into rocking and rolling all night tonight.
That's right. That's right. We're going to have some musical reminders interspersed throughout the show that today is Mardi Gras.
Oh, you think?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. But first, we're going to talk about a little more serious stuff. Now, the two ends of life experience are getting a lot of attention this legislative session. The Keiki and Kupuna caucuses have respectively introduced measures aimed at expanding after-school enrichment to offering help for long-term care, and they have a senator common to both. Senator Suzanne Shun Oakland is the chair of the Senate Committee on Human Services. We recently spoke about many of the bills on the spectrum, from school to post-retirement years. We started with a look at the positioning of this year's long-term care fund bill and the bill carried over from last session to have a designated caregiver trained to continue the care of a person released from the hospital.
The two bills that may be of concern is the CARE Act bill that you mentioned, and it's called the Discharge Policies Bill. Basically, what the CARE Act was hoping to achieve for caregivers, to support our caregivers in Hawaii, was to require hospitals to provide patients with the opportunity to designate a caregiver upon entry to the hospital. It also required that the hospitals have the designated caregiver information in the patient's medical records, and a requirement to notify the caregiver before the discharge occurs that the patient will be discharged. And then finally, to make sure that the hospital offers the opportunity for training, just in case the caregiver is not feeling comfortable with the transition of their loved one into their home, and not having enough information or hands-on practice to do some of the more complicated types of care. So we had something called the Caregiver Training Legislative Task Force, which was made up of legislators. We met over the interim, the legislative interim, from May through December last year. And based on that, there has been legislation introduced. One bill in particular, called Discharge Policies, basically captures all of those points that was in the CARE Act. And it has moved, I believe, out of the Senate Health Committee already. So AARP and many others had come to testify, and my understanding was there was modification to assure that any patient that is being discharged, at least their designated caregiver has that opportunity to be offered at least the training and so forth. So it seems like there is some compromise that has occurred. I'm hopeful, very hopeful, that we will come out successfully this year with something that will support our caregivers better.
And Senator Shun Oakland, what about the fact that hospitals were dead set against it?
Apparently, the hospitals, actually, in speaking with member hospitals, they are very concerned about caregivers. And I think internally to the Healthcare Association of Hawaii, I think there has been discussion. So I believe that the hospitals, you know, by federal CMS rules, are supposed to do most of these things. We just have put it into a statutory framework within our Hawaii statutes to fulfill those obligations.
And what about Senator Baker's bill that's going to be heard?
We do have a long-term care financing bill, and I was co-sponsor on that. I actually had introduced, for many years, this long-term care financing effort. And the most recent one basically is reflecting the most current actuarial study that the legislature authorized a few years ago. What it would do is increase to 0.5% of the general excise tax monies that would then go into a long-term care trust fund that would be accessible to every one of us that has filed tax returns for the past 10 years. And upon the, if we pass the funding mechanism, which is a general excise tax 0.5% increase, then within the 5-year period through the actuarial study, we should have enough to start being able to provide long-term care services to anyone that has 2 activity of daily living challenges or more. As long as they continue to file their tax returns, that allows people access to a $70 per day amount to use in whatever way they feel is necessary to support their long-term care needs.
So let's transfer over to talking about what's going on with the Keiki Caucus. A bill that was carried over from last year would require that the Office of Youth Services coordinate a 5-year Safe Places Youth Pilot Program.
Yes.
We hear so often that, especially with homeless youth, that there isn't a place for them to be, or youth that feel that they're in danger or at risk. Is this bill already in conference?
It is, from last year. So we're hoping, that there will be very positive consideration for this measure. I know Children and Youth Summit, which has happened for the last 22 years now, where youth advocates, children, and youth come to the state capitol to identify top 10 priorities every year. Bullying and safe places has been at the top for the last, I would say, 8 years. So with regards to safe places, it truly is something that not necessarily homeless youth initiated. It's actually some of our young people whose friends or even themselves, they just want places where they can feel comfortable. If something comes up, at least there are people that are knowledgeable, that have maybe counseling background or are knowledgeable about community resources to support them in whatever the circumstances. So it's not necessarily for children that are at high risk even. It could be the YMCAs, the Boys and Girls Clubs. It could be 7-Eleven or McDonald's, where there's a 24-hour kind of operation, even some of our utility companies. Where in other states they have a safe place program, it's basically coordinating a lot of our existing resources across the state and doing some training that is necessary so that people know how to help our youth, but also to create that safe, nurturing environment for them.
And what about the part of the bill that would allow them to consent to services? What services are we specifically talking about?
It's not as common a circumstance, but when there is a young person that needs to stay overnight somewhere, we don't have necessarily that option for young people to stay in a safe place overnight and then be able to get the assessments that they need. So this would, in part, pay for some of the nonprofits that already provide space for other types of situations to also help young people that are needing some care. I know one of the other things that young people have really expressed is having very positive after-school programs. I know that we use some of our temporary assistance to needy families monies for what we call Uplink, that services, I think, 28 schools, middle schools. And the REACH, or Resources for Enrichment, Athletics, Culture, and Health, which Lieutenant Governor Tsutsui has been advocating for, that is also in our package this year, to provide additional after-school programs for our middle schools. We want to, at some point, besides our elementary schools, through the A-plus program, have all of our middle schools also have very positive, enriching after-school, before-school programs.
Of all the bills, and there's so many more that we've yet to be able to talk about just in the interest of time,
mm-hmm.
is there a top priority list for you that's absolutely your core of the core that would be non-negotiable that you would like to see put through?
Well, the caucus package, it's based on the caucus's priorities. So safe places, that was the number one identified bill for a number of years by our young people. So I'm hopeful that will pass. I know that after-school programs has been an ongoing commitment of our Keiki caucus, so I do hope that the REACH bill passes. And preschool, early learning, we definitely need to have a universal options for our youngest children. So we're hoping that the preschool open doors subsidies of $6 million will also be supported. Governor actually put it in his budget.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the REACH program. There's monies in there. Ideally, it's good to keep the money in the state budget bill, which is House Bill 1700. We have these bills just in case that does not occur, that it's not in the base budget, but we're hopeful that it will stay in the supplemental budget bill.
Well, we're going to be watching those bills, and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to talk as session progresses and see what happens with them.
Sure.
Thank you so much for all the time this morning. Senator Suzanne Shawn Oakland is the chair of the Senate Committee on Human Services. She also serves on the Education, Transportation and Energy, and Ways and Means Committees.